And I'm not sure if everyone heard me talking before. Really sorry for the internet outage and the problems with the webinar today. We are going to have to move really quickly. Thank you all for being here. Thank you, AVAC, for supporting this call. Nick is an amazing activist, prep advocate. He is a documentarian. He's done a number of films and work around PrEP and HIV stigma. He is going to be talking about PrEP in the wild in Germany. Nick, if you'd like to go ahead and take it away.
Yes, can you hear me?
Oh, yes.
Yes, that's perfect. Hello. Good afternoon, everybody. For me here in Hamburg, it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'm going to tell you about how PrEP is happening right now in Germany. Next slide, please. So the status quo of PrEP in Germany right now, we have no approval of tenofovir and emtricitabine as PrEP. And unlike France, who just decided we want PrEP and they have it, we here in Germany have to wait for the European Medicines Agency approval of Truvada as PrEP, which is expected to happen by the end of 2016. Yesterday I heard it might be as early as August. And if that approval has happened, then the individual member states of the European Union can adopt this approval. And before that, no official implementation steps will be taken in Germany. But approval doesn't equal reimbursement of the cost. Approval basically means that doctors can then prescribe PrEP officially. If our health insurance companies will actually cover the costs, will be decided by another committee. And there the question is, if they consider PrEP to be a lifestyle drug, such as Viagra, and then you have to pay for it yourself, and 30 pills of Truvada in Germany cost around 820 euros, that is $930 US, or if they consider it to be a public health intervention, and then the costs might be covered. Right now, off-label prescription of Truvada as PrEP is possible in theory, but a lot of doctors are very hesitant to do so because of liability issues. So if their patient suffers from severe kidney damage because of PrEP, the doctors might be held liable. So right now, it's actually quite difficult to find a doctor who's willing to prescribe Truvada as PrEP. Next slide, please. So, what's happening in the real-life wilderness of PrEP? Right now, it's mainly gay men who take PrEP. I haven't heard of anyone else. I only know of gay men who take PrEP. Some might take or might seek to get PEP, post-exposure prophylaxis, and then use it as PrEP. But it's not possible to do that a lot of times in a row, so there is no clinic hopping possible because we actually don't have sexual health clinics as such. You go to see your doctor, and then it would be reported to your health insurance, so they would notice if you get the third, fourth, or fifth round of PEP in a year. So what happens is that people might get Truvada from friends who have HIV and who might just have changed their therapy and have a bottle of Truvada left. I heard that there are some, for instance, people who inject drugs who are in dire economic situations who sell their Truvada that they got prescribed for treatment of HIV and sell it for people on the black market. That black market is definitely happening. I heard of sex party packages where you pay an admission fee, and that includes catering, condoms, recreational drugs, and some pills of Truvada. But, the real way of getting PrEP right now in Germany is to get generic PrEP via online pharmacies. German customs law don't allow you to have them shipped directly to Germany, so the United Kingdom is basically our gateway because there the custom laws allow to an individual person to import those generic drugs for personal use, and that is defined as a supply for 3 months. So you need an address in the UK, and then you can have your generics shipped to there. And then there are several ways of getting the drugs from the UK to Germany. The only legal way is you have to travel to the UK, pick up the drugs, and bring them in your own luggage, because that's the only way you're allowed to bring those drugs when you're traveling for your own personal use, again defined as 3 months' supply. Of course, that's quite a barrier for a lot of people. The illegal way of getting those drugs to Germany is ask your friends in the UK to send them via mail to Germany. Again, you just can't send drugs to Germany, but because it's all European countries, parcels usually don't get stopped by customs. What I hear, what people are doing now, and it's illegal, but it seems to work, there are parcel forwarding services. So you basically have a P.O. box address in the UK, and you have your drugs shipped to there, and then they forward the parcel to Germany. Of course, they are not allowed to ship medical drugs, so they ask you, so what's in this parcel? And then you say, it's dietary supplements, and then they ask you, and how much are they worth? And you say, let's say it's $50, because then customs won't be bothered. And I think that's the main route how people in Germany access generic PrEP right now. Next slide, please. All this is possible without a prescription. The online pharmacies officially say, please do send us your prescription, but if you don't, they'll ship anyway. So it's not mandatory to have a prescription, so there is no real linkage to care. You don't have to see a doctor to get those drugs. Fortunately, the early adopters of PrEP, well, they've basically done their homework. They know what are the crucial things to do when you take PrEP. So what's happening, they go to community-based testing facilities to get their HIV and STI tests done. But again, this is all voluntary. As for checking that your kidneys are fine with PrEP, you can have your creatinine levels tested. For that, you have to go to a doctor's and have to pay for it yourself. The costs are not so high. A creatinine test in the lab costs around $10. If you're concerned about the quality of the generic drugs, you can have a TDM, therapeutic drug levels monitoring, that can also be done by doctors. That costs around $70. But there's hardly any official information on PrEP available. The AIDS service organizations only provide, you know, the basic information about PrEP, the idea behind PrEP, but there's no information for people who want to start using PrEP or are already using PrEP. And, of course, there is no such thing as adherence report. I've created a hidden Facebook group a while ago for PrEP activists, and I made sure there are only people in there who are really pro-PrEP. And in there, we exchange information or people talk about how they got PrEP. So that's kind of a support group for PrEP users in Germany. Next slide, please. Where's the PrEP advocacy in Germany at? Our Ministry of Health, unfortunately, is not very keen on PrEP. Basically, everything that is not condom-based, they're just not interested. They fear a rise of the other STIs, so that's something we have to work on. Our AIDS service organizations are finally getting on board, but I'd say in Germany, we're probably still 2 years behind in the thinking about PrEP. It's got to do, we never had a PrEP study like in the UK or France. So, but we're getting there. But right now, it's individual activists like me who do the main work. We talk to people who talk to us on online dating websites, well, because we write in our profiles that we are on PrEP, and so we get messages like, oh, well, how do you do this? Isn't that very expensive? And so I think we could really use the PrEP in the Wild survey data as evidence that A, PrEP is happening in Germany, and that there is a need for a more comprehensive information for people who want to use PrEP now as a kind of harm reduction. And I think the reimbursement, as I said, will be our biggest challenge. I talk to a lot of people who are familiar with how our health system works. They are not very confident that the system will cover PrEP. Next slide, please. Public's perception of PrEP. The HIV sector, the moral debates are nearly over, and we now start talking about implementation. There, the biggest challenge will probably be how to link between the places where counseling can take place, which is usually at community-based settings, and then link people to places where they can actually get a prescription for Truvada, which is at doctors. And right now, there are no doctors at community-based testing facilities. HIV practitioners, many are still hesitant, I think in part for moral reasons. They still really want to focus on treatment as prevention. So they think if we can just identify all the people who have HIV, we put them on treatment and that will do the trick. Yesterday I heard that a survey done by the German HIV practitioners organization said that only 30% of HIV practitioners would want PrEP to be covered by health insurance. Among the gay community, there are still mixed reactions, the slut-shaming, but I think this is mainly because there is not enough information or education happening. As for the general public, it basically hasn't heard of PrEP yet. There were no major media coverage yet of PrEP, so we actually don't know what the public opinion about PrEP will be. Next slide. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Nick. We're going to just do one very quick clarifying question, and then we have to motor ahead. We're going to move back to Midnight, who is now on the line with us. Nick, can you just quickly clarify what you mean by reimbursement?
Paying for the cost of Truvada. So right now you can get a private prescription that you fill in the pharmacy, but then you have to pay 820 euros yourself. And usually for prescription drugs, those will be covered by your health insurance company. That's what I mean by reimbursement.
Great. Thank you, Nick. As we're getting Midnight slides queued up, can I ask folks who are on the call, since we are we're now open globally, we didn't do a global mute due to some technical issues, if people can please mute their phone mute function, or by pressing *6. We are hearing some background noise, coughing, you know, clearing of throats, et cetera. Please press *6 or use your mute function on your phone to allow us to have a clean recording. And now hopefully we've got Midnight ready to go. He is the executive director of APCOM, which works across Asia. They've been doing some really great stuff around PrEP, and I'm going to turn it over to Midnight now.
Hello, good evening. I hope everyone can hear me.
We can, Midnight. Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thanks so much for staying on, and apologize for not being able to come in the beginning. So without further ado, our name is Midnight. We've been working around community-led advocacy in Asia and Pacific because, you know, we've been involved with WHO for looking at rolling out some of the PrEP recommendations from 2014 guidelines. So I'll tell you a bit more about what we've been doing. Next slide, please. So in just last year in September, we, together with some development partners, did a community-led consultation on PrEP. So to discuss about what PrEP is and what it isn't, and it brought together over 100 people from the region, including from the community, but the civil society groups, government, policymakers, clinical health service providers, and development partners to look at what are the barriers in terms of implementing PrEP in MSM in different countries across Asia, because by that time it had been over a year and only Thailand was really doing anything around PrEP implementation. So we want to look at developing country advocacy plans that could be used for follow-up country discussions, because we know that a lot of the discussions have been done in America and in the West, but in terms of Asia, there's not been a lot of movement. And for AFCOM, you know, we are, you know, representing the community's voice and actually trying to lead this from the community perspective. So as you can see here, we have some from like the advocates, you know, Chris Barra from the John Hopkins to talk more about, you know, why, you know, PrEP is effective. And then the slide on the picture on the right is a current PrEP user who gives out Jonas from the Philippines who talks about why it's important for gay men like him to be able to access another prevention tool like PrEP. Next slide, please. So as I said, the current PrEP program up until now in Thailand with limited access and affordability issue because there's currently two projects going on. One is called PrEP 30, which is run by the Thai Red Cross, where you pay you know, about $1 a day for PrEP. And then there's also the another research done by the Thai Red Cross on kind of like a test and treat. And then Medicare and MFM are also then offered PrEP free of charge under that scheme. In terms of what has been happening from the regional consultation is that because we brought so many partners together and that has kind of ignited discussions at country level. So we were really pleased to hear that there's been some discussion on implementation with the community and with program managers at country level in Laos, the Philippines, Indonesia, and you know, in China, they're looking to have a consultation. In Malaysia, they're going to have a consultation in May. And in India, I believe they've just done their consultation now. So I think it has kind of like ignited some discussions around how it can be integrated with current service delivery models for prevention. And I think, you know, because it's community-led effort, then it's about how AFCOM educates our community to be able to then use that same information to go and talk to their service providers about accessibility to PrEP. What I think is really exciting about the PrEP in the Wild survey is that there is limited information at the moment about, you know, PrEP in the Asian Pacific, and particularly around the informal use of PrEP because it's very much done in a very close setting. So I think we'll find out some really valuable information in terms of how PrEP is being accessed by our community in various settings in Asia. But we've been hearing, you know, from our community that, you know, informal procurement of PrEP in various countries are done by, you know, purchasing from black markets and off the internet. So, you know, we'll be able to kind of like get some evidence around this from our region, hopefully. Next slide, please. In terms of what AFCOM has been doing around, like, what does PrEP advocacy look like, you know, we're looking at including that into the prevention spending of the national HIV framework and strategy. So what is currently there, I think, is good enough for prevention, but, you know, with this integrated PrEP in it as well, it would ensure that we, you know, we fast-track and also reach 1990, because in Asia Pacific region, the epidemic is largely driven by the MSM. So the current prevention is current, yeah, it's not enough. It's nowhere near enough. So we need to be able to kind of like, you know, we see this use of PrEP as a potential to really change that dynamic and ensuring that the communities are very much involved in the delivery of information, education to the communities, and then also be able to link the different services as well at country level. So it's not just about, you know, advocating for PrEP in itself. It's actually about linking people to HIV testing and then about how community can then, you know, for example, serve as the initial testing before they link to, you know, care and support and then, you know, to onto PrEP and, you know, other prevention strategies as well. And I think this way we'll encourage information and access to hopefully the kind of affordability of PrEP in the future. So I've put in there some of the kind of means that we created for the workshop to kind of like get people, you know, normal, you know, gay guys to understand like what PrEP is about in terms of, you know, being effective and the preventive message. Next slide, please. one of the really exciting thing that Afcom has been doing in Bangkok is a testing campaign called TestBKK. And, you know, we know that the current PrEP information is not available in many of the local languages in our region. So there's poor knowledge about PrEP in our region. But what TestBKK has done is actually looking at how then we can translate the kind of like the sex positive image and also giving information about PrEP at the same time. So here we have four of the posters in Thai talking about kind of like sex positivity. So the first one on the left is that, you know, sex without fear. And the second one is, fun without fear. The third one is about sex workers. So work without fear. And the last one is intimacy without fear. So it kind of have messages about sex positivity and it has a little bit of information about PrEP, which links into the website. And then it takes them to information of where they can access, you know, testing, and then where can they also access PrEP as well. And that kind of like, you know, ensures that the message also links into the services. So there is, you know, in our region, there's a belief in low efficacy of PrEP and concern about moving away from condom-based messages and prevention. But what we're saying here is that, you know, this is in on top of the current strategies that is currently being employed at country level. So they can also already integrate that into the current service delivery model. Just last week, Thailand has got the Songkran Festival, which is a traditional New Year, where a lot of gay guys from across the region come to Bangkok to party in gift circuits. And we were able to give kind of the messages around PrEP in the gift circuit parties through having a booth with condom to loop distribution and also a leaflet about PrEP, so then they can go and study about it on our website as well. Next slide, please. And so these are the resources produced by Afcom on PrEP that might be useful or helpful to other advocates and activists to study and use for your own country discussions as well, and share with your friends to have a better understanding of what PrEP is and what it isn't. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Midnight. While we get Will on deck and ready to go and get up to his slides, there is one clarifying question briefly. Would Afcom consider including women in their campaign posters?
Sorry, what's the question again?
So, Midnight, the question is, would Afcom consider including women in your PrEP campaign posters?
So our campaign is very much about targeted to gay men and MSM, and you know, in terms of providing support to other organizations that want to look at other populations, you know, I think we can provide that technical support, and we've been supporting different organizations in the region in terms of how they can conduct a country consultation and what kind of messages they would like to develop, and we can help, you know, create that messages with the partners. So
thank you very much.
It has to be targeted to the population.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Min. Thank you for, he wins the prize for joining us the latest at night as far as the presenters go. So thank you, Midnight. I remind everyone to please press *6, keep your phone muted unless you're speaking, or use your mute function on your phone so we have no background noise. Also, I hope people will be able to hang out with us for a few minutes after the hour since we got started late and we have some great presentations. Next, we'll be hearing briefly from the wonderful Dr. Will Nutland with the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, also the person, one of the driving forces behind PrEPster and some major advocacy happening in the UK right now around PrEP. I'm sure everyone is familiar with what has been happening there. And so I'm going to turn it over to Will right now to take us through his slides. Thanks, Will.
Thank you, Jim. It's an absolute pleasure to be joining you. I'm actually in Manchester right now. There's the British HIV Association conference happening right now in Manchester, and I'm up here with a bunch of other PrEP activists to put on an event in conjunction with the Lesbian and Gay Bisexual Transgender Foundation here in Manchester this evening. So I'm going to speed through my slides very quickly to help us get us back up to time. But I just want to build on something that Nick talked about. So in England right now, we do not need European Medical Agency approval for PrEP. We need the National Health Service, NHS England, to make a decision to sign off PrEP and make it available. They could do that right now. Next slide, please. And what some of you might have been following is that we have, in the last few weeks, the last month, seen NHS England do a complete U-turn on the formal consultation process that we've been working on for the last 18 months. So some of you have been probably following that. The consultation process was on. A month ago, it was off. And then if you were following our news yesterday, it's back on. So in one of the questions I was asked is, what does advocacy for PrEP look like? Advocacy for PrEP looks like legal action, coordinated, concerted coalition building around legal action led by people like the National AIDS Trust. Next slide, please. But what does it also look like? It looks like angry, noisy, galvanizing activists bashing pots and pans and going into NHS England and telling them that we're not going to be quiet about PrEP. Next slide, please. It also looks like this. It looks like one of the 9 actions that we're asking people through PrEPster to take about PrEP that involves the slow burn of lobbying, writing, challenging stigma, talking to your friends. We think talking to your friends is activism and advocacy like the event we're doing in Manchester tonight. Next slide, please. But advocacy also looks like this. I Want PrEP Now is the sister website with PrEPster, and I Want Now have really been pushing forward access to generic PrEP in England. How might that happen? Well, firstly, they've been identifying safe, reliable sources of PrEP that people can buy online. Nick's already reminded us that you don't need a prescription to buy generic PrEP in England, and so long as you're buying 3 months' supply for personal use, overall, you shouldn't be running into any problems around the law. So we're identifying safe, reliable sources. We're assisting people in getting therapeutic drug monitoring. So we know right now that we have data from between 75 to 80 people who have taken generic PrEP for a couple of weeks, have then have a TDM test done, and are sharing the results of that TDM test along with their batch numbers to other people throughout the country and beyond. We've also built fantastic relationships with clinical service providers. So right now, the pioneer PrEP users are creating the roadmap for how PrEP services will operate in the future when PrEP becomes available in the UK. We're also getting support from clinicians. Nick's also kind of touched on this, who are offering things like kidney tests. Bear in mind that just six months ago, when we approached clinicians in England to get support in doing this, most of them ran away from us. Right now, they're working hand in glove with us as clinician activists to get PrEP available to as many people as possible. But we have 3 broad sets of concerns, and I think PrEP on the Wild could assist us in helping to work some of this out. So despite our attempts, we know that there are people who aren't following the full PrEP program. We know for sure because of the people we're speaking to online, the people we're tweeting with, the people we're meeting in bars and clubs, that some people are going straight onto PrEP without having kidney function tests and without having regular HIV tests. And this is a problem of a stopgap, suboptimal provision of PrEP. Our second issue is that we don't know how many people are using PrEP. PrEP in the Wild can help us work this out. So we know that there are 400 people on the PROUD trial, but we would probably estimate that there are at least another 400, if not double that number of people who are now buying generic PrEP online. We also know there are people who are clinic hopping. We also know that there are people sharing pills. I'm going to finish by raising one key concern that we're alarmed about, and that is the most marginalized people and possibly those with the greatest need are those people who can least afford or are least able to get generic PrEP online. And that might be because they don't have financial capital, that they don't have social capital, or, for example, they don't have a safe address where they can get those generics sent to. So there's a real danger that PrEP remains a boutique drug for a bunch of privileged people, and those people who are most marginalized, migrants, young queer people, sex workers, are those who are going to be left out. Spot on 5 minutes. There you go.
You are fantastic. Thank you, Will. The work you guys have been doing in the UK is really amazing and exciting, and We're watching it, you know, with bated breath. Hope you're successful. You've come a long way in a short amount of time. We have one quick clarifying question. What are your thoughts around providing PrEP without a prescription?
Okay, so my thoughts are that right now it's a quick and easy way to get PrEP, so I'm getting my PrEP without a prescription. We know that probably insisting on prescription being available for generic PrEP will be an obstacle for some of us to get PrEP because our doctors may not want to or may not be willing to offer a prescription, particularly if we're buying online.
Thank you, Will. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
We are going to move on. We're going to move on to our next wonderful speaker and remind folks who are not speaking to use their phone or by pressing *6 or using the mute function on their phone. I am hearing some background noise. I'm going to introduce now Ricardo Baruch Dominguez, who's an assistant researcher for the Center for Health Systems Research in Mexico. He's also a PhD student at the National Institute of Public Health in Mexico, and he's an activist on LGBT rights, and we're really excited to have him here today to talk about PrEP in Latin America. Ricardo? And Ricardo, if you have muted yourself, you need to *7 to unmute yourself.
Hello, can you hear me now?
We can.
Hi,
I'm wondering, he younger or Mickey, we are having a lot of background noise. Can we perhaps do a global mute and then have the presenters unmute themselves?
The conference
okay.
has been muted.
Ricardo, please press. Is that you, Ricardo? Ricardo, we're going to need you to press. Is that you, Ricardo?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thanks for the invitation. It's a pleasure to be here with all of you. And I'm going to talk very briefly about the situation of PrEP in Latin America, particularly in Mexico, where is where I've been doing some rich research around PrEP. So next slide, please. First of all, I would like to clarify that when I'm talking about Latin America, we're excluding the Caribbean. The situation with the HIV epidemic is quite different. So in most of the countries in Latin America, the HIV epidemic is concentrated among MSM and trans women. So as probably most of you know, there's a lot of research that is showing that PrEP could be like a great combination prevention intervention for this kind of key population. So we have a big opportunity here in order to stop the HIV epidemic eventually if we focus our efforts in the people who are most affected. And so far, Latin America base of some of the research around PrEP among MSM and trans women, particularly Brazil, Ecuador, and Peru. But it's important to mention that no country except Peru that is starting to the process of registering Truvada hasn't approved the PrEP officially. So this is just starting. And also, I think something important to mention is that in most of the countries in the region, the public health systems are the ones financing the majority of the HIV response. So there is some money from international donors, but it's mostly the government of each country that is paying for the HIV response, which is something different to many other parts of the developing world. And in that sense, even though there's like a relatively high access, for example, to antiretroviral for people living with HIV, most of the governments are saying that they are not capable of paying more for their HIV responses, which is could be potentially a big challenge for implementing PrEP in the future. Next slide, please. So when Nick was talking about the situation in Germany, I was thinking that it's very, very similar to the situation in Mexico in many different senses. For example, the prices of antiretrovirals around the region are very different. they can go as from as cheap to $14 a month in some countries in Central America, such as Guatemala, Nicaragua, and Honduras. They can be as high as $200 in Mexico, because the government here in Mexico, due to the North American Free Trade Agreement and other trade agreements, is not allowed to buy generic drugs, so we have to import the original drug. Therefore, the prices are really high, and that's something that that may prevent the government to implement this kind of program. But there is some progress that I'm gonna mention just in a few minutes. Also, it is important that some of the regional networks of key populations have identified that some of those countries that are receiving money from the Global Fund could potentially include PrEP for key populations, which is a great opportunity. But there is a lot of reluctance from the activist community, because there's a strong feeling that we first need to improve the treatment and access to testing and counseling before moving to something as PrEP. And that's something that, for example, in Mexico is still a big challenge, because even though there's supposed to be a universal access to ARV, approximately one of every three MSM living with HIV doesn't know their status. So that's why a lot of people say, well, we first need to do this, and then we can start discussing about PrEP. But the reality is that there's a lot of PrEP in the wild, particularly in Mexico. The fact that we are so close to the U.S. Has made that there's a lot of information, which doesn't mean it's good information, but at least PrEP is something that is already in the mind of a lot of particularly gay men in some of the largest cities, such as Mexico City, Guadalajara, and Monterrey, that have a very strong gay community. So it's becoming very popular in the black market, whether it's imported illegally from the U.S. or also there's like a black market from like people living with HIV who are selling their medication or who are getting two medications from you because they have access to two different health services. So that's something that is increasing. And they at the black market, the original Truvada can be found at around $60 to $80. Next slide, please. So what's next? UNITAID is a global agency that's based in Geneva. It's funding for the first time a project in Latin America that is going to help to do some demonstrative research about on PrEP for MSM in Mexico, Peru, and Brazil. So there's a lot of potential from that. If that research goes well, there will be more information about what can be done in the region. And right now, Brazil was already having a large PrEP program, so now it's going to be even larger. But still, it's only as a research project. Also, there's a lot of information that in Spanish, because there's information going around in the internet and other spaces in English, but there's very limited information in Spanish. Recently, we developed a short fact sheet, which is the one I'm showing here. And if someone is interested, I'm happy to share it with you in Spanish to explain what is PrEP and also to say, well, it's not available yet, but it might be available in the next few months or years in some countries. And also, there's an article that will be published in a few months in the Journal of the IAS that I recommend you to read about, like that is examining all these situations in some of the countries that have been doing work around PrEP. And as I mentioned before, it's mostly Mexico, Peru, and Brazil, where there's been more progress and more discussion, not just among the activists and the MSM, but also the researchers, the government, and also there's a growing support from UN agencies, particularly UNAIDS and WHO. So I think that there are good opportunities in the region, but we still need to find out, especially like how the financing thing will work in the future. So I think that's it. Next slide, please. That's it. Well, thank
great.
You very
thank
much.
You so. Thank you so much, Ricardo. To save a little bit of time, we're going to just keep going, and I'm going to introduce Brian Kanyumbo from the Desmond Tutu HIV Foundation. Brian has been a longtime HIV prevention advocate. He's also worked on clinical trials, helping recruit folks into arthromicrobicide trials and PrEP trials. He's now, in South Africa. He is in South Africa, which has recently approved PrEP. So they're moving from PrEP in the wild to more formal use, but I would imagine most use in South Africa is still on the informal side or in the wild side. But without further ado, I'd like to turn this talk over to Brian Kanyumbo. Please remember the *7 to unmute yourself.
Okay. Thank you so much, Jim, and thanks for the introduction. So my talk today for the next 5 minutes is specifically going to be what has been happening in the advocacy scene since 2010 when we had the first PrEP trials until now, and what were the information that we are getting from folks within the country. Next slide, please. Okay, thanks. I think we are missing some slides there. Hello? Yeah, okay. Yeah, that one. Okay, so when you are talking about PrEP, in South Africa, we have already started talking about PrEP as a targeted prevention packages for different key populations using the UNAIDS key population guidelines, whereby we were taking female sex workers and male sex workers, people who get drugs, MSM, and so discordant couples. So we were, since in 2012, we had a recommendation on PrEP. So we had started to have the discussion on what is really the prevention package that is needed among these key populations, especially into the other four. So now, when we are adding more on PrEP, we thought let's bring young women into the mix, and as we're having this discussion, because the South African household survey and our INSES data is showing that these young women are very high at risk, whereby we are seeing that about 2,500 new infections are actually reported every week. So we thought, okay, women should actually be involved into this mix. Okay, next slide. Okay, so what is the approach of PrEP in the world? So as I said, we are discussing and talking about this on the discussion that we had in South Africa. We thought, and the committee is actually thinking, PrEP should be client-centered and friendly, something that an individual, an ideal approach whereby it's an individual-centered. For example, I have to make a choice which is suitable to me and my lifestyle. And we have seen that data shows that when individuals are at risk, they are more liable to look for that intervention of their own preferences, And as an individual, because this is prepping in the world, we would want to think, how much does it cost? And who is going to pay for it? Does it meet my budget? And if it's insurance, is it recommended? Will my insurance be able to cover for it, which is most of the time not so, it's not that what is happening with some of the insurances. And again, looking onto that cost implication, another thing that is coming on is, when we're talking about PrEP, it's in a combination with other interventions, STI testing, HIV testing, and other monitoring that is needed. Is it covered by that course, and what will happen into that way? And now, where is it available? Is it in the public sector, or is just in the private sector? And looking into the human resources and structures in South Africa, in the public, do I have to wait in the queue? And is it really my lifestyle? I'm a working person. Do I really need to wait for this long? So we are taking it into the, as an individual, would I really take PrEP on my own without any other interference? And then looking into the issues of adherence, who is supporting an individual in adherence with adherence? Because for PrEP to work, one has got to adhere to it. Is it support from the health sector, or the healthcare worker, a counselor or a clinician, or on, let's say, for example, we're talking about the third screen couple, is it my partner who is actually supporting me on with adherence? Next slide, please. So where is informal PrEP happening? So far, it has been only happening among MSM, and we have seen themselves as at risk. And one of the MSM had actually published his own article online, and it's, you, for those who are interested to hear his story, you can go on that link. And for those who will be at the regional meeting here in Africa in the next few weeks, you will be available to actually engage further. But really, what he had come out with was PrEP. He has seen that PrEP is an individual a commitment that needs his, you know, to actually think about it and how to take PrEP on for his own accord. And it is interesting that he was not even a participant, and he was not even involved in any of the clinical trials, and actually took PrEP on his own after he had heard from the media. So again, where is PrEP happening? It is happening in our demonstration projects that we are conducting among MSM, sex workers, and young men. And however, this is a tailor method to attract the right population through targeted designed advertisement. And one thing that is happening within our demonstration project is there are more of nurses initiated project in our two clinics in Johannesburg and Cape Town. And really, this is something that is interesting, since one of the questions that is coming in from the government is, what about human resources? And this nurses initiated project is really great into that regard. Next slide, please. So what is the started procedure? Just a few weeks ago, we have got new guidelines, and as I said before, which include all the other key populations, including young women, girls. And the guidelines point the fact that HIV testing should be done after every 3 months when you come in to collect your medication. And I wanted to talk a little bit about the STI testing. I know I mentioned it, but since most of the discussion that we had in the community is when taking PrEP, most of the community members, they are actually not using condoms anymore. So there's an influx of STIs, which has been reported. So now, when a participant comes in for a visit to collect his next medication, there's a really robust discussion that should go between the clinician and the person themselves. And again, the medical monitoring includes, you know, the side effects, you know, HIV management and other side effects. So all this information is being collected since we had our last guidelines in 2012, and which was only limited to MSM, but again, it had actually helped out to explore more, especially from the studies that we had from ADAPT and Partners PrEP. Next slide, please. So where is advocacy in South Africa? It's actually civil society supported, whereby prevention advocates like myself, we've been having discussions mainly on the TV, in print media, and in talk shows, or targeting conferences, whereby we're sharing information on PrEP and what it means, and we should be and targeting different population, not just the general care population, and our implementation partners like CDC have been working on costing of PrEP specifically for the key populations that I've just mentioned, and the National Department of Health. They are supporting the research efforts and pushed on licensure, which was PrEP was licensed in November last year, and have now created a working group that is working on how do we structure and put our PrEP into practice. And again, I mentioned that individuals who are taking PrEP in the wild actually sharing their experience. And there's a last week there was a group of clinicians among our clinician society who are, you know, talking about PrEP among themselves. How can they support each other, especially when it comes to PrEP implementation, you know, to write prescription and etc. Next slide, please. So how can what can we, you know, gain from a survey on PrEP in the world? So I think demographics and clinical trials are giving us more clinical control, acceptability, and social mobilization. So we need to have more, you know, out of clinic self introspection, whereby we would want to hear more what the end user is saying, and that drive of using PrEP. So perhaps this might contribute to the acceptability of PrEP in the community. Next slide, please. So what is the public perception on PrEP? There are really mixed feelings, and there is need to create acceptability of PrEP as a prevention intervention, and we need to know where is service provision for PrEP. Is it in the public, or is it in the private clinics, or only MSM run clinics, which is what is happening right now? And again, since we have got an already burdened health sector, what should we do about it? So this is coming in very, very from the community, and the community is also asking a question: what is the Department of Health have in rolling out of PrEP? What are the structure? So we need that to have on the table. And again, the last thing is we as advocates, we're trying to make sure that we are saying that PrEP is not a competitor for treatment, and that PrEP is going in as in the box of treatment, and then they are working together. Next slide, please. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Brian. And in the to save a few more seconds here, I'm going to move it right over to Jerome Gallia, who is a co-PI on the PrEP in the Wild survey. His current gig is with Socios and Salud, or Partners in Health, and he is one of the co-founders of IRMA in Latin America. I'm going to turn it over to Jerome right now.
Hi. Thanks, Jim. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good. Great. Thanks for the introduction, and thank you to all of the presenters. That was really more than more than we could hope for in an hour. And so I just want to cap this off with a brief prepared statement about the PrEP in the Wild study. I think by now, if you've been listening to the speakers, you can see that there's just lots of questions about what's happening with the use of PrEP off-label. But I wanted to tell you about how we got started on the study, and then also ask for your help in distributing this global online survey to your friends and colleagues. What happened was that about a year ago, exactly, a friend here in Peru called me on a Monday morning, as has often happened to me, telling me about an experience he had a few days before, within 72 hours, where he felt like he had been exposed and possibly infected with HIV, and he wanted to access post-exposure prophylaxis, or PEP. So I made the referral, and he finished the PEP course, and afterwards he was interested in starting PrEP. And that's where the story begins, because in Peru right now, although it was Truvada for PrEP use was just approved by our equivalent of the FDA, it is not included in the national HIV strategy yet. But at that time, anyhow, as well as today, what he had to do was figure out how he could purchase PrEP informally. And so it got me really thinking about PrEP use off-label. I can't say that I had thought about it much before then. And really what was happening in places where PrEP is not officially approved for prevention. And so at that time, I'd only really heard about this anecdotally in Peru. I did find one study that was published about informal PrEP use in Australia, but that was it. And so that's when, whenever I have questions about prevention, of course, I turn to my friend, Jim Pickett, and we started talking about this, and we both agreed that, like I think many of us do, that PrEP should be part of an overall prevention toolbox, but at the same time, we don't really see it as a do-it-yourself intervention, and that there really are other things should be taken in consideration besides HIV, like one's medical history, testing for other STI, individual risk profile, et cetera. And so that's when we started a conversation with Pamina Gorbeck, who's a behavioral epidemiologist at UCLA. Many of you know her, and our friends at AVAC, like Mitchell Warren, who's also interested in this issue. And AVAC agreed to support a small investigation about the informal use of PrEP, which we call PrEP in the Wild. So that's how, and during many conversations with, I think, many of you on this call over the last few months of 2015, we developed the PrEP in the Wild study that is for people, men and women, who take PrEP in places where it is not yet approved for such use, or where it is approved but the meds are obtained through informal mechanisms. And so we're also interested not only on the user's or consumer's experience, but we'd like to know what the provider's experience are. Because in many of these situations, people may consult with their physicians. And so the PrEP in the Wild survey also includes questions for healthcare professionals who manage patients taking PrEP, regardless of how they get it. So finally, we also know that there have been some people who've tried to acquire PrEP, but have been unsuccessful in doing so, and so we include some questions for that group as well. So the study has been vetted by several advocates and medical professionals, many of you on this call, as well as reviewed by an ethics committee. You should know that all the responses are anonymous, and the survey is available in three different flavors, English, Spanish, and French for now. We plan to run the survey for several months and report our findings here in another global call, as well in other scientific fora. So please, the last slide shows you the link that'll take you to all three languages for the PrEP. We really are asking, this is a low-budget endeavor. It's internet-based. We really are asking your help to spread this to your friends and colleagues. And for specific questions, you can always contact me or Jim Pickett. Thanks, Jim. I'll pass it back to you.
Thank you so much, Jerome, and thanks to all our presenters. Thanks to all the participants who have hung out with us on this call today and bearing with us with some of the tech issues, including internet outage, right when we were about to get started. If I could ask the presenters to all unmute their phones, we're going to do a quick set of final questions. We don't have a lot of time. I'm going to take a minute or two. One question I can answer, I think, on behalf of everybody, it was requested if your various informational, educational, and communication materials could be shared. I think it was directed towards EFCOM, but I think it would go for anybody. Yes, they are willing to share, Jordan, so if you want to get in contact with any of them directly or through me, I can make sure you get that hookup. This is directly for Will. Will, there was a question about Well, here's the question. The EMA euro approval is not associated with the delay of approval in the UK. Is that right?
That's correct, yes.
Great. There's another sort of general...
Jim, but for England, not the whole of the UK. My understanding is that EMA will apply for Scotland.
Oh,
but
very good clarification.
I should stand corrected for that.
Okay. And if Nick, are you still on the call? Is there anything you'd want to add to that question?
Yes, I am.
EMA. Is there anything you need to add to that about the EMA euro approval and its association with England/UK?
No, basically we just have to wait for it, just the way our health system is set up. And actually, because our Ministry of Health is not very keen on PrEP, well, they kind of hide behind this, saying, well, you know, we can't do anything before the EMA approval.
Right. We know that trick. Here's a question for everybody. This is a yes or no quick question. But have you all consulted with any sex workers, whether they're male, female, or transgender, around their concerns about PrEP so that they can be included in your advocacy work?
Yes.
And that was Will who said yes.
And Jim, we're actually just about to start working on a project called Porn for PrEP UK, when we're working with a bunch of porn sex workers on a fantastic new education project.
Oh, cool. And the other folks? Midnight, are you still on?
Yes, I'm still here, yes. Midnight, there will be a PrEP study that's going to be specifically for male sex worker, young sex worker in Bangkok next year.
Excellent. Is there anyone else who wants to add to the question about if you've worked with sex workers or are planning to do any consultations or advocacy with sex workers in regards to PrEP?
Hi, this is Ricardo here.
Go ahead, Ricardo.
I understand that the studies in Brazil and Peru did involve sex workers, but I'm not aware of any program specific for sex workers in the future, except like for particularly for women, but trans women are definitely included in some of the plans for some countries.
Okay.
Anyone else want to go ahead?
Yes, Jim. Yeah, it's Brian. So we are working directly with Switch, which is our sex work partner here in Cape Town, and we have been engaging them through the results, and there are actually a number of male sex workers who are on one of our demonstration projects, and I understand Kevin had registered on the call. He has been engaging them as a clinician on PrEP, you know, on how they can get PrEP, etc. So, yes.
Great. Well, thank you, presenters, again. Thank you all for being here. Thanks, AVAC, for hosting this call. We are going to have to cut it now. If you have questions you didn't get answered or something that comes up later, please feel free to send that to me directly, jpickett@aidschicago.org. That's jpickett@aidschicago.org. We need to sign off now, but again, thank you very much for being here. Thanks to our partners, Irma, Socios, and Salud, UCLA, and, of course, AVAC for not only providing webinar capabilities today, but funding this lovely study in the wild. Please take Jerry's words to heart and help us share that link far and wide with both consumers and providers in whatever country. This is a global survey. We want responses from as many places, from as many people as possible. Thank you very much. With that said, stay tuned, watch this space, keep up the good work, everybody, and enjoy the rest of your day, afternoon, or evening. Bye-bye.
Thanks.